All right, so today is the 14th of January, 2020. The 17th of Tevis, Tafshin Pei. And here we go with Meforshim Day for Perek Yud Aleph. Yeah, Perek Yud Aleph. So the first thing the Or HaChaim just says off the bat, we had this issue yesterday, and I'm not sure he really clarifies it. Just on the page, the only thing I can really find about who's Moshe talking to exactly? Those who left Egypt, who seemingly are all dead at this point, or those that are alive now? The truth is, those that are alive now, a lot of them did see the miracles. It was only people that were 20 and over that had to die in the desert. Those that were younger were there, so they all remember from when they were young children, seeing the sea split and seeing all of the things in Egypt. So that's what the Or HaChaim points out. That they will know this. V'omru perish tamshani omer v'yedatem lachem b'kinoi hu lomar v'lo es b'nechem. I mean, to tell them, like, kind of warn them that you can say and your children can't. Shame ein lahem yediyah b'mivchan zeh kemosam. They don't have the same knowledge that you do. V'lo hutzach lahasker ha'yediyah mahi. I don't have to mention what that is. We all know what we're talking about. K'shemasika adam deya b'mivchan sodek yir b'ein of ha'emes mi'atzma. There's a difference when a person actually sees it and sees it as truth from themselves, and therefore you have to ensure that that gets passed on. That's what seems to be being mentioned with her first couple of psukim. Now, the Ramban points out the issue in Pasuk Vav, one of the things that are referenced in terms of miracles that were done is that which was done to Dasan and Aviram, that the ground opened up and Korach got swallowed up. So there's, as we discussed yesterday, this is a bit of a truther issue as to what actually happened to Korach, whether Korach fell into the pit, or whether he was burnt up with those that were bringing the Ketores. Both or neither, right? All possibilities are out there. So it's also, in other places, Korach is mentioned as falling into the pit. Certainly his kids are. So and maybe the kids didn't fall all the way down, but Korach did. I didn't get a chance to look it up. I believe in Parshas Pinchas, Korach is referenced to in that way. So the Ramban here says, V'lo hiskir Korach v'adaso, sheyatsu eish v'fnei Hashem v'tochal asam. That they don't mention Korach, who was consumed by the fire. I mean, Korach is going backwards. Machlokes Rishonim, really, what actually happened to Korach, even Ezra versus the Ramban. And the Ramban here says that, yeah, Korach is left out of here, A, for two reasons. He says, first of all, he didn't fall in, rather he was consumed. Okay, well, why don't you mention that, the Ramban wants to know. And if you're going to mention the miracles that took place in the desert, so mention that it was amazing. Half these people fell to the ground, and half these people were burnt to a crisp from the inside out. Right? Why doesn't that get mentioned? So the Ramban says, "Bavur ki ish zar hakariv lahakter katoras hu milavei hatorah hu milavei hatorah." He says, "Was that one of the lavim? A ish zar who brings the katoras? That's one of the prohibitions of the Torah. V'olam hu nenash ladoros, and that will be a generational punishment. Meaning that wasn't unique to the period they were in the desert. In that, whoever does that in the future, the same punishment could happen to them as well." If you want to see what it looks like, right? I think in Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's what happens to one of the people, right? Isn't that one of the punishments that when they opened it up? Didn't the Kohen Gadol in Raiders of the Lost Ark get consumed?
Yeah. No, the Nazis get consumed.
Well, one of them was dressed.
Yeah, he puts on the Kohen Gadol. Right. He does that, the Nazi. Yeah.
Right, all right, okay. Yeah. So you see that happens in all generations, up to and including Raiders of the Lost Ark. So v'olam hu nanash l'doros kasher kara gam luzi v'alkein lo minu be'osos midar, and the punishment existed for generations. Also, as pointed out in Divrei Hayamim, because it happened to Uzziyahu. Not sure what that story is. You can look up in Divrei Hayamim what happened there. Therefore, it's not mentioned here as one of the unique characteristics of the desert. That's what the Ramban says. I mean, open up on the ground. That only happened in the desert. And in fact, in the Gemara records a story of an Arab of a tour guide taking the Amoraim around and showing them where the ground opened up. And you know, if you listen very closely, you can still hear the children of Korach calling out. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. Yeah, the Gemara talks about this, right? So so that was a desert specific thing, and that's why that got mentioned here as opposed to the other Onesh. Okay. So now I move on to Pasuk Yud. So we're talking about how wonderful the land is. We discussed this yesterday. Ki ha'aretz, the Pasuk Yud. Ki ha'aretz asher atav Hashem l'rishna, the land which you're going to go and conquer, inherit, lo k'aretz Mitzrayim. It's not like Eretz Mitzrayim, which you left, where the land gets seeded and you can water it with your feet right? Kigan hayarak, like a garden. So Rashi gets into, well, which one is better? So Rashi right away says, El Tovim Menemi. It's not like Egypt, rather it's obviously better. And Rashi brings a proof from where? Rashi brings a proof from Parsha Shlach, where it discusses the making of the city of Chevron. And the city of Chevron was made before the city made by the same person in Mitzrayim. And everybody knows that when a person builds multiple cities over the course of their life, they always make the first one better than the other one. So the one made in Israel is obviously better than the one made in Egypt. And the one made in Israel was Chevron, and Chevron is not considered the hatsi-tatsi part of Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael is better than that. So you see how wonderful the land of Eretz Yisrael is. That's what Rashi attempts to suggest. However, the Rashbam, his grandson, points out that lo keres Mitzrayim, kein shitas parshios halalu, tzrichim atem lishmor mitzvos Hashem elokeichem. Not that it's not like the land of Egypt in terms of one is considered better, one is considered worse. Just simply that in Eretz Yisrael, you have to watch your mitzvos better. Ki ha'aretz hazos tova mi'aretz Mitzrayim l'shomrei mitzvos. The land of Eretz Yisrael is wonderful if you're keeping up your end of the bargain. But it's worse than other lands if you're not being shomer. It could be better, it could be worse. It's different. Eretz Yisrael is going to be continuously based on how people are doing spiritually. Why? The land that you're going to come to, the land of Israel, is not like Mitzrayim. She'ain tzrichim lematar, which doesn't require rain. Uvein tovim uvein chatayim b'torech hashkas saduseim leishlam lechem. That, yes, it's true, you might have to work in the land of Egypt. That was the other thing Rashi pointed out. That in Egypt, if you're on a low ground, so wonderful, you'll get all the water to come to you. But if you're in a high ground, you're going to have to work pretty hard. You're going to have to schlep all this water up onto your field. So the Rashbam says, however, yeah, but at least you know you'll have a water source. At least you'll, you put in the work. You'll have food. You know that's going to happen in the land of in Egypt. Aval Eretz Yisrael, but in Israel, imatem shomrim mitzvos inei Hashem elokachaba. Vashkosu b'matar shemayim. Bereishis tanaver achish asana latez matar beis atzorech. But in Eretz Yisrael, if you're keeping mitzvos, so then Hashem will a make it easier for you, and that he'll cause it to rain as opposed to you after schlepping the water. But he'll cause it to rain. But that's not guaranteed. That needs to be that has to be part of the deal, assuming that Bnei Yisrael is keeping up their end of the bargain. So the Ramban makes a similar comment and adds in a little bit more. He says, "Upshuto." He quotes Rashi again, and then says, "Upshuto shel mikra b'derachas haranamar." That the simplest explanation of understanding this pasuk is that is really a warning. I mean, as opposed to Rashi saying, "Oh, wonderful, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be great." The Rabban is saying, "Oh, the attitude of the pasuk is really to warn Bnei Yisrael." Shamar lehem, that we say to them, Ushmartim is called mitzvos, Yirashtim eretz avaskalav udvash. You're going to keep all the mitzvos, you're going to inherit the land of milk and honey. Ki Hashem yitein matar artzachem b'itov, aretz yitein yivula. Where Hashem will bring the rain to the land in its right time, and the land will give forth its bounty. Good usage there, right? So we'll give forth his bounty. But you should know that it's not like the island of Egypt where you'll be able to water the stuff from the river, umina gamim, from the marshes. Kigan hayerek, raki eretz harim, uva kos, lamatar shemayim, tishtemayim, lo b'inyan achar. Because in Egypt you have an alternative, right? If it doesn't rain, so you'll bring water up from down from the river. As opposed to Eretz Yisrael, if it doesn't rain, there's no other way of getting water. V'tzricha shedyidrosh Hashem ba'osatamid b'matar. So therefore you have to, Hashem constantly, you're constantly being dorish Hashem with regards to water. We have almost an entire Masechet in Shas that deals with this, right? Masechet Tainus. So it's entirely about there not being enough rain, people responding to the lack of rain, and recognizing that it has to do with their actions as opposed to just happenstance. Ki eretz tzam'am ma'od, v'tzricha matar kol shana, because it is a very dry land, and requires water all year. Vim tavru al ratzon Hashem v'lo yidrosh usa. The Ramban says, now if you violate the desire of Hashem and you're not constantly seeking Him. By the way, the Ramban wrote his parish on Chumash when he was already in Eretz Yisrael. I keep that in mind. The Ramban, I think his commentary on the Gemara was earlier, but his commentary on Chumash was the end of his life. I'm 99% sure. I didn't check it out today, but pretty sure, which he wrote only once he got to Eretz Yisrael. So, Osav Gishvei Ratzon, Hinehi Rama Od, Lo Tizrav, Lo Tatzmiach, Lo Yaleba Kol Esav Beheri. All right, if you violate the desire of Hashem and aren't being Doreish Hashem constantly, so the there's no rain, and your field won't sprout, and you won't have the produce you need. And this is all, now he points out that this is all sort of explained in the next section, right? The next section is the Parsha of Shema, or the second Parsha of Shema, that section, which is really about this. If you listen to the mitzvos, which I'm commanding you today, to serve Hashem, and I'll give everything, and be careful to do this. And if you don't, so Hashem is going to get angry with you. So what's going on here then? So the Ramban says, so we explain this all in the next section, meaning verses 13 through 17. Kim Shamo, if you listen to mitzvos, you'll get. Vim lo tishmu, you won't. Temei ra, and you're going to be kicked out, etc. So what are we saying here then? I mean, that's in the next section is where we talk about the quid pro quo. Right? If you do it, great, and if you don't. But Vinei Parsha, so what's this? So this, Vinei Parsha Zu, Tazer B'minahogu Shel Olam. This section where we talk about Eretz Yisrael being very temperamental as to how it's being treated, that's in general in the world. We mena nilmud, we learn from here, ki afa pisha kol bershu so v'nekel b'nei Hashem, even though everything is within Hashem's domain. And is easy for Hashem to do. Yisbarach lahavid yoshvei eretz Mitzrayim ulohvish naros v'yorehem. Right? It's not so hard for Hashem to just destroy Egypt or to dry up the rivers. Aval eretz kenan tove yoser mehera shul yitin ba matarosuzo. But eretz kenan will be easier for Hashem to deal with, so to speak, or quicker. That it will be like a much quicker reaction to Hashem's. To Hashem's attitude, which will be defined by our actions. I mean, yes, it's true. Hashem could make it that that all of a sudden the Nile will stop flowing some way. Or he could, put in the mind of some idiot Egyptian to build a giant dam so that the water doesn't go and...
It will be unnatural.
Right. But Hashem has the ability to take care of those countries also. But in terms of a very fast reaction that you see immediately that, this is being impacted because of my actions, etc., that will happen in Eretz Yisrael faster. Meaning a sick person requires merits and tfilos that he get healed more than a healthy person. That a sick person that shouldn't become sick. Meaning in theory, right? Everyone should walk around wishing me refuah shleima every day. Or we should wish everybody refuah shleima. Well, I'm not sick. Well, yeah, not yet. But you could just as easily be sick in 2 minutes as a guy with the flu can be. Right? You could be just as sick. Hashem could do that. The Rabbanis point out, yeah, Hashem could do that, but he doesn't do it. He does allow, and now the next thing is a little bit questionable, what the Ramban actually holds about this, but it seems like the Ramban does allow the nature to take its course. Now, that is of course a somewhat controversial statement, certainly within the Ramban, because of probably the most famous Ramban in all of Chumash, and which is the one that appears at the end of Parshas Bo. Right? What is the Ramban right there at the end of Parshas Bo? Ramban wonders aloud, why is it that we have all of these mitzvahs that are Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim? What do we need them all for? The Ramban says, to remind us that Hashem controls the entire world, and anything can happen at any time, and nothing happens without, there's no greater miracle, the splitting the sea is no greater a miracle than having the sun rise in the morning in the east and setting down in the west, right? It's all the same, the Ramban says. Implication being that everything that the grass doesn't grow without Hashem saying grow, and everything is being constantly controlled by Hashem. So this perhaps goes against that. Right? This perhaps seems to be implying that Well, you know, Hashem kind of lets nature run its course in some places, and in Eretz Yisrael, there needs to be constant attention, so Hashem is constantly paying attention to it as a result of the way the land is made up. So Dr. David Berger has a famous story that he's told where he said he was once at a bris in someplace in Brooklyn, in a Hasidic place, and he was sitting next to somebody who asked him, "So what are you working on now?" And he said, "I'm working on the Shita of the Ramban about this." I mean, the Ramban's analyzing the Ramban about whether he holds, whether there is absolute divine providence in everything, or whether there's such a thing as nature in the thought of the Ramban. So he said that somebody sitting across from him said, "No way, the Ramban writes in Parshas Bo that everything is clearly divine providence and you can't say otherwise." So Dr. Berger says that you're right, that seems to be what the Ramban implies in Parshas Bo, but if you look right behind you, there's a Kol Kisvei HaRamban, and I'll show you a few passages where the Ramban seems to say otherwise. So the fellow said, "Yeah, I don't believe you. I'm not going to give it to you." So he uses this as an example that people, you know, how it's a very interesting formulation there as to what truths people are open to, etc. Right.
Because you know, Hashem controls nature.
Right.
And just, he takes care of it. He does it the way, like you said, in Israel, you know, it's easy to stop the rain. There's no other sources.
Right. Right. That's what the Ramban seems to be saying here.
But.
Yeah. So if you want, you can find it online. It's a free article online from Dr. David Berger about the divine providence and the thought of Nachmanides, and you can take a look at what he says there. Yeah.
The concept that all nations have their guardian angels, if you will, except Israel.
That we have a direct relationship with Hashem. Yeah. The Ramban talks about that also. Right. Not here, but right. Yeah. Right. So. Okay. It's actually the next. Ramban continues on actually, and points out that that's what he means in two psukim later, where it says Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Dorish Osa Tamid. Hashem is constantly there. So the Ramban comments, V'roish Yomer Ulamatar Shemaim Tishtemaim Kasher Hashem Elokecha Yidreish Osa. And it's fitting to say that the rain from the heavens will cause. Will allow drink to come down. Kasher Hashem Elokecha Yidrusha, as Hashem foresees it. V'alo kol ha'aretzos hu dorish. I, Hashem, deals with all the nations, and quotes a pasuk from Iyov. K'v'yachol enu dorish ala osa, v'ayde osa drisha shedorish osa, dorish kol ha'aretzos. So Ramban says, not exactly. Yes, it's true Hashem darshens all the other lands, but their impact is coming via Eretz Yisrael. That's at least what he writes here. I mean, he could potentially impact other things, but in terms of that pasuk that he's quoting, that on the land that gets this treatment, yes, but it could be coming via Eretz Yisrael. That's how the impact of what Eretz Yisrael does will then impact the other nations. To see what it needs, and to set up good times and bad times in order to sort of direct people. And then the Ramban concludes by saying, V'yeshbo sod amok, this is a very deep concept here, ki aretz hazot nidreshes b'chol v'hi akol, and it's everything, v'chol aretzos mis parnesos mimena be'emes, and every land really gets from it. And that's all he says, and in the art scroll, Ramban, he doesn't bother to translate this, it just says, Ramban refers to some secret concepts here. Okay. The next idea, a few minutes left. So in the Ramban and Pasuk Yud Gimel, so now we're into the Shema. It says, "V'yam Shema Tishmol Mitzvah Shere Nochim Mitzvah Shana Yom Yavas Hashem Elokach Hashem Elokeichem Uleavdo B'chol Levavchem U'V'chol Nafshichem." So Rashi on this pasuk says, "V'lo Kfar Hisker B'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshicha." Didn't we already say earlier, "B'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshicha"? El Azhara LiYachid Azhara LeTzibur. There's a command to the individual and a command to the tzibur. That's what he. And the Ramban quotes that Rashi. It says, "Ubir inyan ki Hashem lo yasa nisim tamid." Hashem doesn't do miracles all the time. Latet matar aris v'choleis yoro makosh v'lasofa bedugam v'tiyur shviyitzer laharbus gam isav v'sadl v'hema l'shviyitzer shmaim v'yavoshu rak al maisa rov ha'am. Right, Hashem doesn't do miracles always. He most likely will do miracles for a nation, for a lot of people. Aval hayachid hu b'schuso yichya But a man, he's on his own. He'll live by his merits, or he'll die by his sins. But not necessarily that a miracle is going to, I mean, he will be functioning based on merits and losses, but in terms of open miracles being done for him, that's not necessary, that's not going to happen. Now, there are some miracles that are done for good or for bad, rak l'tzadik and gemurim or l'rasham gemurim, but yeah, got to be a pretty big tzaddik or a pretty big rasha. Now, that is helpful for, you know, the Hasidic Rebbes, right? Right, that's how the Tanya, the first paragraph of the Tanya, really quoting the Gemara in Meseches Nida, where it talks about Tzadik ben Tzadik or Tzadik ben Rasha, Tzadik Kamur, Tzadik Eino Gamur, etc. So right in the very beginning of the Tanya, it talks about this concept. So if you're a really ultimate Tzadik, so then theory miracles could be done on your behalf. But people in the middle, they go there in the way of the world. And it will take them to the good or bad in their way as they act. Okay. And then wanted to mention a little bit, if we head into Parshas Re'eh. So, in the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, Mazel Tov, finished Eikev. So, as you head into Parshas Re'eh, so Re'eh Anuchi Nosein Lisnechem Hayom Baracha Uklala. Behold, I am placing in front of you both a blessing and a curse. What is that referring to? So Rashi and most of the Rishonim say this is the this is referring to an event. This is referring to Hamurus Bahar Grizim Uvar Eval. I'm going to place in front of you both blessings and curses. On Har Grizim or Eval, you'll be blessed if you do this, and you'll be cursed if you don't. You'll be blessed if you don't do this. You'll be cursed if you do this. It goes through, and that's what this is. That's what this is referring to. So the Sforner, however, says, no, I'll tell you what this. Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lifnechem Hayom Bracha Kol. I'm placing in front of you blessing and curse. What am I not placing in front of you? Choice C, or none of the above. Right? You're not going to have anything in the middle. Says the Sforno, Habito Urei, take a look and see, Shelo Ye'einecha Al Ofen Benoni, Kemoshuhu Aminog Barov, that you're not going to have a middle ground like most people have. Ki Amnam Anochi Nosin Lechem Hayom Bracha Kol. I give you the choice, blessing or curse. Behem Shnei Haktzavos, and it's two different paths. Ki Abracha Hi Atzlacha Yoser Mina Maspik. Bracha will be more success than you need. Al Tzara Yoser Tov will be really good. And the klala will be bad things that you won't be able to say, that could be, you won't be able to gather when it's enough. And they are both in front of you to choose that which you will choose. It's an amazing thing, right? You're not normal, right? You drive around all over the place, right? People living normal lives, right? And where? All the way up and all the way down, etc. Either great or either not great. So here you see this Sforno pointing out. That's what it means that I'm placing in front of you bracha uklal, not just the possibilities to pursue each, but that's going to be your reality. You're either going to be living exceedingly special existence or an exceedingly suffering existence. So try to esa bracha, right? And it goes, continues on. So choose bracha in order to be able to get that life. All right? Maybe, a little early, but maybe we'll stop here. That's all I got.
Do we know how the Ramban died? Or the-